after, and I want to respect everybody's time. So thank you very much, everybody, for joining our what are likely to be now monthly combined APD and PD virtual cafes. This month we'll be having our continued presentations from chairs of different learning communities. Our first couple ones have gone very, very well, and I really want to thank Pat and the other learning community chairs for taking their time to share with all of us what they're doing and how we all can get involved. And so in usual virtual cafe fashion, we have our obligatory first slide. So if you could all turn on video, we all missed seeing each other back in the spring, and we all miss seeing each other all the time. So the more video we see, the better. Try and keep your audio on mute unless you're talking. And then, you know, we will have the chairs of learning communities share some information, and then we'll have it open up for questions. And then I'll monitor the chat box. If you have any questions, please feel free to type those in there, and I will pose them to learning community chairs as we're going through. And if you are speaking, please introduce yourself and let us know where you're from. So here are our objectives, the same ones from our last couple. We'll meet the leadership of the various learning communities, hear what they're doing, and how you all can get involved. And so today, we have two different learning communities presenting. We have the underrepresented minorities in PDRC GME with Emma Omarui. Good. She's shaking her head. Perfect. She is the current learning community chair for that, and she will be presenting and leading us through discussion for that learning community. Then after she finishes, Pat will discuss the Promise study, which is an APPD Learn study. And then we will end with Sue Pointer and Elizabeth Chawla discussing the behavioral and mental health learning communities. So again, thank you all very much for joining, and thank you to our presenters. And Emma, I will let you take it away.
Hey, Ross, can I add something really quickly? I'm sorry, Emma.
No problem.
Kenya McNeil Trice is going to be on with us too. I thought she was on the email originally. So there
she
is. Hi,
excellent.
Kenya.
Thank you. My apologies. Thank you, Kenya, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, have I been given access to share yet?
Oh, well, yes, you should. Okay. Yes. You should be
awesome.
Able to share.
Perfect. Thanks, you guys.
Yep.
So you guys can see everything now? Perfect. So thanks everybody, and thanks Ross for giving us this opportunity. As he mentioned, I'm going to be discussing the learning community I'm happy to be involved with, which was the underrepresented minorities and pediatric graduate medical education. I do want to first acknowledge that we stand on the shoulders of giants, so it'd be really remiss of me not to discuss and thank Pat for starting this learning community a few years back. She was the founding chair. Our immediate past chair is Lahia Yamane, and she's an APD at Stanford University and has taken over putting a lot of energy into our AIMS program, which we're going to talk about later on. I've transitioned over to the chair role. I'm an APD at McGovern Medical School, which is part of the University of Texas Health Science Center at Houston, and I've been an APD since 2017. And so obviously immediately was embraced in the APPD community. I've really enjoyed the fellowship I've found in the community. I think the board is doing great things, and so I'm excited to be involved at this level. And then my partner in peace, is what I like to call him, is Tyree Winters. And he is our current vice chair, will obviously take over as a chair role in 2 years. And he's an APD at Goreb Children's Hospital, which is part of the Atlantic Health System.
Hey, Emma.
Yes.
Can you make your full screen? Because we're able to see the notes and all, and not the full screen.
Oh, you know what I need to do? I need to probably share the other screen.
Or change the display settings.
Yeah, that's much better. There you go.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for letting me know. I appreciate that.
Yep.
Okay. So, So let me talk about our mission. So as I mentioned earlier, Pat was our founding chair, and we were founded in 2015. So I'm assuming we're one of the newer learning communities. And we were founded really with the idea that we wanted to acknowledge the lack of representation in the pediatric GME space. Our main mission of our learning community is to improve diversity, inclusion, and equity practices within the pediatric GME community. We really are able to achieve that using four subcommittees: recruitment, retention and support, curriculum, and mentorship. So our learning community was tasked with some Vision 2020 goals from the APPD board, and I'm sure some other learning communities were also given the same charge. We were charged with exposing URM house staff to APPD community earlier in their training, and I'll talk about how we were able to achieve that, or starting to achieve that in a few minutes. We were asked to equip programs and departmental leaders with tools to enhance diversity and inclusion. And we've been able to partner with the LGBTQA plus LC to do that, as well as the curriculum learning community to do that. And we've had some workshops or enhanced learning sessions at previous meetings, and we continue to work with them on future goals and projects. And then we've been asked to equip future leaders within APPD with tools to enhance diversity and inclusion within the APPD organization and within their programs. And we've started to do some earlier work with the LEAD program and looking at some of their curriculum and how we can make some changes. So I like to share recent projects and successes that our learning community has been able to achieve. So for the 2020 to 2021 academic year, the APPD Special Projects Grant was awarded to our subcommittee on retention and support, as well as an APPD approved research survey. And I know Pat's going to talk about that, so I'm not going to go into the details regarding that. We also, like many other learning communities, had members of our community who were excited to share and share scholarship through the form of enhanced learning sessions at the spring meeting. But we're definitely looking at ways to make sure that they can disseminate their work throughout this year in other forms and fashion. Okay, so you guys are gonna hear my voice get really excited because this is one of the things that I'm really excited about. And I think once again, speaks to the fantastic work that the APPD is doing, especially the board. So this year, we were able to launch the Advancing Inclusiveness in Medical Education Scholars Program, also known as the AIM Scholars. So this was done in collaboration with the APPD board. We were able to recruit, reviewed applications, and we selected our first cohort for this year. And so these are scholars who are underrepresented in the pediatric GME space. And our goal is really to expose them earlier. I like to tell people that this is the best job that I didn't know existed. And so it was mentors who were able to get me to where I'm at. And so we're trying to change the face of the GME community. And so these scholars are going to get mentorship. They're also going to participate in a half day of programming. The initial goal was to do that during the spring meeting, but obviously since that was canceled, we're going to hopefully do that virtually during the fall meeting. I do want to use this time to thank many members of the APPD, because a lot of you guys, when we put out the call for mentors, stepped up very excitedly to do so. And we know that that's going to really be important for these scholars' career advancement. So I want to show you the pictures of the 12 scholars, or as I like to call them, the future of the APPD. We were very intentional and deliberate about picking scholars from every region. So if you see somebody from your region and you know the program director, please go ahead and let them know that you're excited that they have a scholar, and you're also offering that mentorship in any form or fashion that you can provide. And we will put out another call probably in the fall. We are trying to focus on second year categorical pediatric residents, MedPeds residents, and then third year MedPeds residents are also eligible to apply. So how do we like to communicate? So obviously pre-COVID, it was definitely, we loved the face-to-face interaction that came with meetings. And so if it was not even the spring meeting, we would see each other at the Pediatric Academic Society meeting, or many of our members are involved in recruitment for their institutions. So they would see each other at SNMA events, LMSA events, and the like. And so we are trying to find ways to adapt to the new norm, but definitely in the past and hopefully moving forward in the future, that will be our main way that we like to see each other and communicate with each other. We do obviously, like many of the learning communities, like to use a discussion board, but we use it judiciously. So we use it just to highlight scholarship and also place calls of various needs. And then, as I mentioned, we have four subcommittees, and so they will do a lot of discussions virtually and through whatever space works best for them on whatever reoccurring basis they need to get scholarship done. So I really want to encourage anybody who has a heart and a vision for our mission to join us. So I put our contact information down below, and then I also want to encourage you also to use info@apb.org, because I think that'd probably be better for you in terms of getting a response back quicker. But I'm pretty good at with my email, and Tyree is the same way as well. And so I'm going to stop sharing my screen and then open it up for anybody who have questions or comments.
Thank you, Emma. Your group is doing such awesome work. One of the things I wanted to say is that the new APBD website also, you know, has some really nice information about all of the learning communities. So sorry, my four-year-old is joining. Also has some really great info on the learning communities. So if you have some questions, that's a good place to go as well.
Ross, she's so cute. What's her name?
This is Beatrice. You want to wait for
me? Hi, Beatrice.
Hi, Beatrice.
You can tell she's very shy with, you know, with new people.
Yes, always. Well, she's had many, many Zoom bombs with Daddy over the last few months, huh?
She's probably very popular with the Zoom bombing. She's very.
And here comes my six-year-old.
And who is the six-year-old? We can't
this
see.
Is Charlotte. This
Hi, is Charlotte. I love it. So I had a quick comment. Actually, I might ask a question, Emma, but this is a leading question, so don't get mad at me. as I'm sure you are aware, many of our membership are struggling for ways to really tackle how to discuss current events with their current residents while also creating inclusive spaces for their residents and hopefully continuing to recruit diverse applicants while they're working on their environment and making their environment more inclusive, which means that all of our program directors are really hard at work. Because you guys generally within the UIM learning community, there are so many great ideas and concepts and ways about which programs are doing this locally, will there be an attempt to kind of share this with the larger APPB community? Because I think there's a real hunger for this knowledge and people are really looking for guidance.
Thanks, Pat. I love leading questions like that because it's going to allow me to speak on what we are doing. We've already reached out to our community and asked them what topics are really important to them and they think are important for their learners, but also who are the, not necessarily the content experts, but those who are willing to share information they may have already created and haven't had an opportunity to disseminate. And so as we continue to collate that information, it's our hope that then we will find ways like these virtual cafes to then share that information with the larger body.
Thank you. Did anybody else have any other questions?
And hi, everyone. It's Molly in Seattle. I would also add, Emma, I think maybe just even highlighting that the one of the upcoming opportunities may be at the fall meeting. I think, I don't know how much you can share about that already or if there's information.
Can you tell that we're really bad at keeping secrets? And we're like, so let's share a little bit more.
Molly, I appreciate you because Molly is actually one of the people I've reached out to. She's a member of our learning community and her group out in Seattle has this great workshop that I was looking forward to participating in at the spring meeting. So I've asked them to see if they can share their content at the fall meeting. And yay, I got an enthusiastic response. So we're hoping to adapt it to the virtual space for that meeting.
And I don't know, I'm hoping it's not just our team. We do have an amazing group that have worked hard on some of this stuff in Seattle for our resident training, and we're looking forward to sharing that. And it's been spearheaded a lot by our chief residents and one of the partners we've worked closely with in child psychiatry. So I'm but one of a humble member of a large group that's working on that. But I don't know if you're asking any other groups to share, because I know there were several great workshops that were scheduled to be around the content related to UIM work at the spring meeting. So I don't know if others have also agreed to share yet, or if you're still waiting on hearing about that.
No, so thanks, Molly. No, Pat and the board are really wanting to continue this communication and this conversation. And so that's exactly what we're doing. We're reaching out to those who didn't get a chance to present on this topic and see if they can adapt things for our virtual cafes.
Awesome.
We're not very subtle.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Tyler Smith in Kansas City, Missouri.
Hi, Tyler.
Let me show myself a little bit. I was also having lunch in between, but great to see everyone. And also, I love the kids photobombing. Is that the best thing ever? And also, we love it. I just wanted to say to the leadership group, thank you all so much for forming this mentorship group. I've been able to meet with my mentee virtually, and I don't know if you all did it by design, because we went where she's training for residency is where I went to medical school. So a lot of her attendings that she has are people that I had as my attendings. So we're able to communicate and connect on that level. As well as there are so many other similarities with us. I mean, it's almost scary, like she's my little sister type of thing, but it's been great. And my please consider is, can we please consider expanding this to being a bigger program? The biggest reason why is that after I finished fellowship, if I would have known about programs like this, you know, realizing that I'm a clinician educator, I would have loved to jump into something like this, but I just wasn't aware of these spaces, or not even aware of the spaces, but being aware of how to get into the spaces. Because sometimes some people are handpicked to be in these spaces who may not have the desire to be in it, but the people who do want to be in the space, they're not. And it's almost kind of like, well, what did I need to do to tell you I wanted to be there when I didn't know that was a place where I could be? So I think it's so important, if we can, to please expand these spaces, and also any other content that we put out there. I think it's so very important to make sure that everyone has the access to it, because you're correct that everyone is very hungry to know about how can we improve these things related to diversity, equity, inclusion as it goes into this recruitment season. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. That was awesome. And then I'm not a fundraiser, but there are opportunities to donate money to the AIMS program so that we can hopefully continue to expand.
And I did not plant Tyler. That was not a paid endorsement.
I am not a plant. I am not on any type of executive board or committee. I am just a happy member of the APPD.
Well, Tyler, thank you for your time, and thank you for helping with the AIMS program.
So I'm gonna make one more comment, and then I'm gonna use that as an intro to talk a little bit about the Promise Study. This is gonna sound super corny, especially after this love fest that we just had about this learning community. But I really want to thank Emma, Lahia, and Ty for really elevating the learning community and taking on such, you know, incredible projects and really making it the learning community it is now. I think that the amount of productivity and scholarship and community that has really been formed within the LC is really a direct result of your leadership. And I am so excited for where the learning community is going and just all the wonderful projects that are coming out of it. I also want to give a huge shout out to my partner in peace. I love that, Emma. I'm going to steal it now. Aisha Barber, are you on this call? Where are you? Oh, there you are. Hi, Aisha. Aisha is the program director at DC Children's, and she was my partner in peace. We actually co-founded this learning community. I love to tell the story of how I met Aisha in line buying coffee, and Megan Ayler, who I'm not sure if she's on this call, introduced us and forced us to form this learning community. Because I was new to APPD when I met Aisha and Megan online, and I asked Aisha, as the only other Black program director, she was an associate program director at the time, I asked her, I said, well, where is the learning community for Black people? And she said, there is none. And I said, well, that doesn't make any sense. And Megan overheard us. And she said, well, you guys should start one. And we both laughed. And here we are. So I'm very grateful to my partner in peace, Aisha Barber. I'm grateful to Megan and to the APPD leadership, and really excited with what Emma, Lahia, and Ty have really done with the learning community. So it's wonderful. One of the more fun and I think amazing projects that has come out of this learning community is the PROMISE study. PROMISE stands for Providing Med-Ed Insight into Inclusive Environments. And it is really meant to be a group of individuals who, we actually all came out of the retention subcommittee within the UIM learning community. And our goal was really to find out why underrepresented residents would leave academic medicine and why students might choose not to go into academic pediatrics, particularly those students who are UIM. And so we spent a long time kind of thinking about why we each individually as underrepresented individuals stayed in academic medicine, but also we tried to be really thoughtful about some of the reasons why we may have left, or some of the reasons why we did leave. Aisha is one of the people who left and came back. Thank God she came back. But really trying to be thoughtful around why individuals who are underrepresented would not feel welcome in this space. And the conclusion that we came to was, despite our own individual experiences, what we needed to do was really survey and study UIM residents right now in pediatrics. And since then, what has come of that is a very impressive study. Jyothi Marbin from UCSF has really led us as a study group through all of the obstacles of creating a multi-center study. We've partnered with APPD Learn in order to create this study. And what the study does specifically is really to look at exactly what the experiences of UIM residents are right now and how their self-identity has impacted those experiences. It's really a way for us to better understand the experiences of all of the UIM residents so that we can create more equitable and inclusive learning environments. I think a lot of us struggle with how to create these environments, and we really felt very strongly that before we moved forward and tried to create environments, we needed to take a deeper dive into what were the aspects of the environment that were making them so inhospitable for UIM residents. And so what's come of that, as I said, is a study, and what we're looking to have is actually 24 diverse pediatrics and IM programs to participate in the study. When we began creating this study, we found out that the APDEM was also sort of struggling with this concept, and they were starting to put together a study for their IM programs. And so we actually sort of combined forces and decided to create a survey across programs where we could survey both pediatrics and IM programs and really get a better sense across two of the larger training areas why our UIM residents were not having the same experiences that some of our white or some of our majority identifying residents were. And so right now we're actually looking to recruit more programs. We want to have programs that represent really geographically the diversity of pediatric programs, but we also want to represent different sizes of pediatric programs to really have a good representative sample of where individuals are training. And we want, ideally, for program directors to sort of volunteer their programs as a potential program to participate in this study. So if you think your program would be sort of willing to participate, or if you think that your residents would be willing to participate in just answering some of the surveys, and that you as a program director might also be willing just to provide some of the demographic data for us, we would ask you please to email Beth King at beth@appd.org or our PI, Jyothi Marbin. And we can make sure that Jyothi Marbin's email is available for everybody. It's jyothi.marbin@ucsf.edu. And just let them know that you're interested. All we will do is ask you to provide some brief primary demographic data about your program through a link, and then we'll ask you to submit an IRB application.
We actually have an IRB kit for individuals. So if you're interested, the IRB application is actually pretty easy. You just have to cut and paste the portions of the kit to make it as easy as possible for all of you. So please contact Jyothi, contact Beth, and let us know if you're interested in participating in the study.
Thank you, Pat. We have a couple questions from the chat. You had mentioned that you're looking for 24 diverse programs. What's the minimum diversity stats needed to join the study?
So I'm pretty sure there is a cutoff that Beth spoke to us about, but we're actually asking individuals just to submit their data, and we're going to kind of go through and see what distribution of programs we have to make sure that they appropriately represent the level of diversity that we need. We understand that most programs will not have a ton of diversity, and so what we're really looking for is representative programs, again, across sizes. So we're looking for small, medium, and large programs. We're looking for programs across geographic distances across the country so that we can have more of a representative sample, and it will be less about the diversity within your individual program and more about how you pair up when we compare you to other programs. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the diversity of the programs.
Excellent, thank you very much. And then another question that came up, do the PEDS programs, I guess conversely, would the IM programs need the agreement of the corresponding program from the same institution? Are you looking for dyads, or could individual programs join?
We are in fact looking for dyads. It's a great question, Alan. And so what we're asking, I'm going to try not to make this too long-winded, but when we started partnering with the internal medicine folks, what we realized is that our network within pediatrics was much tighter than the network within internal medicine, just in terms of contacting programs and getting them to sort of join the study. And so what we decided was that it was going to be easier for the pediatric program to reach out to their networks. And then once we had chosen pediatrics programs, we would ask the PEDS program directors to reach out to their IM program directors. That direction of the communication just seemed to be better because it seemed a little bit easier for us to reach out through APPD through our networks. And so yes, we would ask if you were a program that qualified, we would ask that you reach out to the IM program director to see if they would also be willing to be a part of the program, because we are in fact looking for dyads.
Excellent. Thank you, Pat.
And any other questions? Oh, and the email addresses. So I think you put, Ross already put Beth's in there, and I can put Jyothi's up.
Any other questions for Pat or for Emma? All right. Well, thank you, Pat and Emma. Thank you very much. Emma gave up her time from clinic today so that she could speak with us about her LC. So thank you very, very much. And Pat, thank you for discussing the PROMISE study. Awesome work that you all are doing. So thank you very, very much. And now I'd like to hand the reins over to Sue Poynter, who is the current chair of the Behavioral and Mental Health Learning Community. Sue, are you still here?
You're still muted, Sue.
Can you hear us, Sue? You're muted.
She can. She was texting me. I think she's trying to figure out how to unmute. It's not working right now.
Why is that? Hold on.
You got it.
Yeah.
You're good, Sue.
This says you muted me, Ross. I feel personally offended that the host muted you.
I did not do that on purpose. I'm so sorry.
You see my eyes looking at you right now?
I know. I can feel the lasers coming through my screen right now.
You're not that far away. I could drive to Cleveland.
I got five hours away, so.
Yeah, right. I'm hitting my little mute and someone's unmuting me and it's all very sad, but here we are. You guys, it's good to see you all. Kenya is much more organized. You know, we just like to show up, but she put together some slides. Kenya, do you want to show slides or do you want us just to talk? It's up to you.
I can show the brief slides that I have. Sue knows I've been working on these slides for weeks.
I know. We Kenya and I, and now Elizabeth, we have this road show. We can't forget Elizabeth over there. Hi, Elizabeth. I usually don't have my camera on, only when we're supposed to be on, you know, on stage, do we put on our our little cameras? And look at, Kenya's got her safari going on behind her, so. But we'll show you guys.
Can I ask you a question? Elizabeth, how are you handling these two?
It's a mess.
Well, conversation offline.
I love them.
Here's entertaining. Here's a real funny, because I thought Kenya was on the original email. She was not. So I was assuming she was coming on today. If Becky wouldn't have emailed us and said, sorry, I can't see you guys today, Kenya's like, what? And I said, the call? And she's like, oh, I'm not on a call. I'm like, oh, no, you're on the call now, and you're bringing the slides. So here we are, and this is how this works. So we're glad you guys have patience with us. But we will show you some information since Kenya put together some slides. And I will say we are one of the newer learning communities as well. And this is a topic, I think, that's very near and dear to all of our hearts, because I think it's something that we all struggle with. But since Kenya is the editor and author of both our slides and also EPA number 9, I'll let her get started. And Elizabeth and I will chime in if that's okay with you, Kenya.
That's perfect. And my goal will not to be before you long, because I always like the big grid of being able to see faces, and I can't do that when slides are up. So I'm just going to speak briefly about the behavioral and mental health learning community. Emma, when she did her presentation, talked about community learning community of those underrepresented in medicine being the newest. We got you on that one. We're even newer. We're still learning this. So it's 2020. I think our learning community we developed in 2017. And our leadership currently is Elizabeth Chawla, is an associate program director at Georgetown MedStar, is our currently our vice chair. Sue Pointer, program director at Cincinnati, is our chair. And I am our immediate past chair, and I'm the program director at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. None of us are specialists in behavioral or developmental pediatrics. I am a pediatric hospitalist, Sue is a pediatric intensivist, and Elizabeth is a general pediatrician who is the director of their continuity clinic and outpatient setting, and yet we are the leaders of this learning community, and we'll give you a little bit of brief information as to how this came about. Our aims within our learning community were to familiarize the members of APPD with EPA 9, which I'll just go through briefly, provide a platform for us to discuss the needs and challenges with providing adequate experience for our trainees in behavioral and mental health, developing curricula specifically within residency training to address this need, ideally to identify and develop assessment tools for evaluating our resident competency, disseminating some scholarly initiatives within this, and also partnering with other organizations that have this as a major focus and or initiative they're involved with. As of now, we believe that most folks are familiar with the Entrustable Professional Activities of General Pediatrics that was published within the American Board of Pediatrics. And how we initially became involved with this EPA is that Sue and I, along with some other members within APPD, were representatives of the APPD writing group that actually wrote the 17 EPAs. And we were randomly assigned EPA number 9, not out of expertise, but literally drawing, you can call it the short or the long straw, whichever you feel as though goes with that. The EPA 9 deals with assessing and managing patients with common behavioral and mental health problems. That's literally how it's stated. Within this writing group that we participated in almost about 6 years ago, we developed into subgroups, developed a draft, reviewed, submitted it, revised, and finalized it. And this was probably over the span of about 18 months from the time that we started till we finally got revision, review, comments, and finalized it for publication. A summary of what we came up with was that pediatricians, and these are general pediatricians who had completed a residency training program, should be able to assess behavioral wellness and address them from a preventative standpoint, anticipate, identify, and manage specific behavioral and mental health needs, and recognize when consultation was needed. And this scope was very broad.
that included issues with regards to development, common behavioral themes, but also common mental health diagnoses. After completing this and all of the EPAs, we became involved with the EPA ABP Learn study, and there were several other programs within APPD that did this. This is a list of a few of the programs that were involved in this study and that were specifically involved in evaluating that EPA number 9 in our program. So seeing whether we could actually evaluate and assess whether our trainees were competent within this EPA, and if so, what were their levels of entrustment within that? And so you can see even within this, several of our groups from across the country participated in that study, and that study, the findings of that study was published just the beginning of this year in January. Sorry. We have also developed collaborations amongst other organizations nationally. Collaborating with the American Board of Pediatrics, who's within their foundation, which is their fundraising arm, one of their biggest priorities that was developed in 2018 was actually to address the mental health needs of pediatric patients and families. They found that amongst their stakeholder groups, that this was the biggest need that they found that our providers who were certified in pediatrics were not meeting. We collaborated as a learning community with the APPD and APP Learn study, the Roadmap Pilot study, which is a study, a development of a curriculum outside of Cincinnati, but is funded by the American Board of Pediatrics Foundation, that looks at mental health provisions and care for patients with chronic illnesses and disease, and then the development and participation in the Pediatric Behavioral and Mental Health Network. And this is a network that has stakeholders from multiple organizations, not only including APPD, but also the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Pediatric Association, the Society for Adolescent Medicine, the American Psychiatric Association. I can literally go on and on. And we have monthly meetings that discuss what our current endeavors are and what are some innovative materials and initiatives happening. So within our group more locally, our reason for developing this learning community, as I discussed in our AIMS, focus significantly on developing a curriculum for our constituents, who are the program directors within APPD. And so we have worked probably within the last 6 months to really narrow our focus to focus on that initiative significantly. And then within that, trying to collaborate with other learning communities so that we can get a curriculum developed and actually pushed out to the members of APPD. Some of this is just brief information on how we have started initiating our curriculum development. We anticipate our curriculum will be diagnosis-based, and so having overarching headings that either involve mental health, behavioral health development, and actually pulled out suicide as its own diagnosis-based curriculum, recognizing that there's some integration and overlap with all of the before-mentioned areas, but that it is such a huge piece within its own that it deserves the opportunity to stand alone. We have discussed plans of how to implement this. So should we implement curriculum consecutively? So identify mental health and implement that curriculum and then go forward with behavioral health and development versus doing something concurrently. So pushing out all of these four areas at the same time with diagnosis-based curriculum affiliated with those, or do more of a hybrid model where we have phase one where we're focusing more on mental and behavioral health and having diagnosis-based curriculum involved with that. Sorry, my phone is ringing. And then having a phase two afterwards. Within looking for our curriculum development, are also thinking of ways to develop scholarship and collaboration. So how do we track the outcomes and assessment? This is something that can be available on MedEd portals, so outside of our constituents and within APPD, and also pulling together multiple programs within LEARN so that we can evaluate the curriculum across different and diverse settings. Some of our tasks are our short-term task would be identify members of other learning communities to participate in our curriculum development, and identify other organizations who may want to contribute to that curriculum, including PEDS Portal, Academic PEDS Association, and we know, I listed Corey Green here, but there are some pediatric providers who are nationally known for their curricula on mental health, particularly depression, anxiety, and Dr. Corey Green is one of those. These were some of the questions that we developed within our learning community as to what is the best type of technology media that would be most appropriate for members in the APPD to not only have access to the curricula, but to integrate it and actually use it in their settings. So would Canvas be one of those, or should we use something else? And we've been working with Laura Degnan and Pat within our APPD on what would be the best type of website format to house this curriculum. And what are our needs, so outside of web design, but also funding. I think that's it. So those are the end of my slides. I'll stop sharing and we'll open it up for myself, Sue, and Elizabeth to take any questions or provide some clarity as to what we're doing within our learning community.
I was just gonna add really quickly to Kenya that our birth of this learning community was similar to what happened to Pat. I think in Aisha, you're just minding your own business and then you identify a need and then somehow people volunteer you to start a new endeavor that is that's needed. You know, I think that Pat and I hooked up with Ann Burke and some other great people. I see Ann is on the call to help write these EPAs, which I think haven't probably gotten enough use by all of us. And we know the EPA number 9 isn't perfect. So we're really looking for feedback on that too, which we can take back to the ABP as they consider EPA 2.0 versions. But I think we recognize this was a big area of deficiency for all of us, no matter how big your program, no matter how many resources you have. There are many different ways to, I think, try to train our residents better in this area. So I'd almost consider us, I mean, Elizabeth and Kenya, you may correct me if you don't agree, but we're almost focused as being a working group right now, because we really do want to have a product that is useful to the members of APPD. So we've got a lot of folks, I think, in our community here that we can draw from, because the three of us are definitely not content experts, and we've been lucky enough to meet a lot of people along the way. We keep reminding Pat of that. Pat's like, you ladies, you may be crazy, but we want you to also produce something to help crazy people. So we've been recruiting others to help us in that endeavor. And we will need programs and program directors to look at this product before we post anything and really think about where are the areas that we're not touching on and really how should we focus our efforts. But this will be kind of like the vaccine for COVID out by the end of the year is what we're saying, right? That's a good goal. We may beat the vaccine, but that's what we're gonna try to do anyway, so.
Please beat the vaccine, Sue, please.
I know, I'm afraid we're gonna get fired, Pat, if we don't, so we're gonna try.
You can't get fired for a job that we don't pay you for. That's the beauty of APPD.
True.
We pay you in love. And that will be never ending.
That's exactly what I keep telling myself. I'm like, Pat still likes this, no matter what happens. And they can't dock my paycheck if I don't get paid. So
I see a question in the chat from Keith Ponitz, who was another partner in crime who is staying quiet. Who has done some workshops with us about this mental and behavioral health. And, you know, Keith's question was the ACGME mental health requirement and whether we will need to have an APPD response. I would love to hear, you know, what Elizabeth and Sue would think about that. And if I understand, I like Ross. If I understand Keith's question correctly, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I actually took this slide out, but as of right now, from an ACGME standpoint, if you look at our RRC requirements, right now the only requirement we have is to have a 1 month unit on behavior and development, and that we have to have a faculty member that is board certified in behavior and development, either on faculty or involved in that curriculum. And so if that's what, I think that's what Keith is getting to, My comment with that, and I think this is what we have found from surveys that involved APPD and involvement of about 4 workshops we've done over the past 2 years, is that when you look at that simple requirement, I think we can all agree that that requirement is not enough to meet the needs that our trainees have with regards to mental health, behavioral, and development. It's just not. And so if we were compliant within that, that is not enough to meet the needs, number one. And number two, there are not enough behavioral and developmental pediatricians available to go around across all programs. And so you could have an actually very robust program that does meet the need, and but still get cited as not compliant because you don't have someone who's board certified at your institution. And so I think we all feel that it is wholly inadequate to meet the requirements. And if you look at the study that was published from the APPD and ABP Learn, most of us found that the best places to actually provide this curriculum and assess our residents' competency in it was actually in a longitudinal manner within our continuity clinic settings over time. And so I can just say that briefly. I don't know if Sue or Elizabeth wanted to chime in, and that may have been a pointed question from Keith, because I think Keith may agree also with some of the experiences he's had in his training program and what they do specifically with this curriculum.
Yeah, there was actually, and I'm asking Keith in the chat, there was something just sent out today in one of the things from APPD to read the new ACGME requirement. I think it's still in a comment period, but it's gonna be a requirement for, let's see, I had just.
Yeah, so, you know, I was looking at it, I got it yesterday, and I was just, you know, looking at it, and it was, they were stating that there may be a mental health requirement within PEDS. What was unclear to me when I was reading it is to whether or not it was going to be like DBPEDS and adolescent medicine, where everybody needs to do a month, or if it was going to be more like where it was added, like what we call a type A, you know, one of the 4 months. And so it was a little unclear to me in that what they were saying.
Well, and the one I was just reading right before this, actually, there was 2 separate revisions. One was just adding a mental and behavioral health rotation to one of those core requirements. And it looks like it just means that that could now count towards one of the requirements for the 4 core subspecialty rotation. But there was also another revision earlier in that same document that said residents must demonstrate the ability to provide care across all clinical settings that's sensitive to the developmental stage of the patient with common behavioral and mental health issues. And I think that's new. So
yeah,
I'm assuming like Kenya and Sue know more about this than me, but that implies that in some way you'll have to, programs will have to show ACGME that their residents are competent in these skills. And I'm not sure exactly how we will prove that they're competent, but it's
probably a good opportunity for us to write back to the ACGME from the APPD as to what we think would be in the best interest of the residents related to this topic. So it just seems like they've opened the door for us, and it just seems like a nice opportunity for us to put something together and respond, better understand exactly what it is that what they're saying as well.
I know the ABP has been working. I don't know if Anne has anything to say about that. I know the ABP has been working, because Sue Woods has mentioned that several times, with the ACGME to increase requirements, not only just for PEDS, but across the board. But obviously our leverage is with pediatrics, even though it shouldn't just be a pediatric issue. So I think this new statement that came out today, which I have, or yesterday, I have not read all of it either, but I think that that may be a chance to move things in the right direction. I was going to talk about that with Kenya and Elizabeth tomorrow, because we have a call tomorrow, actually, so we could add that. Perfect timing, right? I think most of us do not get the majority of our teaching, just like Kenya said, through our DDBP folks. A lot of it really is in continuity clinic, because it's that continued responsibility we have for the longitudinal care of those patients that we see in continuity clinic, and that's where residents with the appropriate comfortable faculty, I think, really learn the management and the triage of a lot of these basic mental health or behavioral problems. So yeah, I think you guys are right, and this may be a bigger group thing with Pat and others on board, I think, to really lobby for what we think this requirement should look like, since it's still in the beginning phases.
Yeah, this is Anne. Hey, Sue and everybody. Yeah, I think, you know, it talks about behavioral mental health, and I really would agree 100% with Keith that the APPD should respond and say something about this. Because let's face it, you know, behavioral mental health has been in the ACGME requirements, gosh, since I started as a program director 20 some years ago. But the key, like, I think we just really have to be clear that we're talking about what traditionally has been more in the psychiatry realm, and not the, you know, us pediatricians of a certain age like myself, we can do ADHD and we can screen for autism, but it's the things you guys have mentioned that's going to be on the learning platform that is just going to make a big difference, right? Because there's an epidemic of depression and suicidality that if it was COVID-19 or a new kind of encephalitis killing our American children, we would all have to learn it, and we would all be, you know, really clamoring to find out how to train our pediatric residents to take care of the epidemic. So great work, you guys. And I agree with Keith. I think this learning community should consider writing a response to the ACGME that's really strongly stated. Maybe they should be a little more explicit about some of these diagnoses that you guys are talking about. But great work. Shout out to the behavioral mental health learning community. Good job, you guys.
Yeah, I have to echo.
Sorry, Ross.
No, I was just going to echo Anne's point and say that I completely agree with Keith. I think it would be a great opportunity for APPD to send a message to the ACGME about what we think is best for our trainees. This, of course, would lead me to turning back to Elizabeth, Kenya, and Sue and asking them to inform what that statement might look like, because you guys have really been in the trenches. I feel like you are experts, as reluctant as you may be, you are experts in this realm for us now, and really have done an incredible job in leading this learning community and navigating just how much assistance we all as program directors really need in training our residents. And so I was just about to text you off on the side, but why text when I can just tell you in a Zoom chat that we will have our APPD board meeting this week, and I'll bring it up with the board. It'll be tomorrow, actually. But my guess is that they would ask for your assistance and guidance and what that statement would look like. And then we could send it out officially from the APPD to the ACGME, which I think would be very powerful and important.
That's excellent. Thank you, everybody. Any other questions for Kenya, Sue, or Elizabeth? All right. Well, thank you so very much to everybody. Thank you, Kenya, for joining us last minute, and for Sue and Elizabeth, the leaders of the Behavior Mental Health Learning Community. Thank you to Emma, the current chair of the URM Learning Community, and to Pat for discussing the Promise Study. Thank you, everybody, and we will see you all soon.
Hey, Ross, can I say one more thing before you guys
Please
leave?
Do.
So the beauty of Zoom, and if there's any nice thing about COVID, is you can actually belong to more than one learning community now, and it's super easy, because we used to at the meeting you'd have to pick, right? You would feel like you were deserting your other learning community if you met up with, you know, some of us on the side, but now you don't have to do that. So we would really appreciate help and, you know, content expertise and other fellow program directors to let us know what they need from us. And if anyone would like to participate as we try to build this curriculum or even to write the statement, I think Keith is willing to help us with the statement for the ACGME. We would love to hear from you guys. So email us. We'd love to include you guys in our learning community as well. Thank you.
That's a great point. And anybody's interested in signing up for learning communities, please go to the APPD.org website. You'll be able to sign up there. And also, don't forget to sign up for the discussion boards for the learning communities as well. I don't think that the two cross-react, so I believe you have to sign up for both. And Sue, that's a great point. Thank you very much. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Ross. Thanks, learning communities.
Thank you. Bye.